Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. And once again, I am Martin or Mo or whatever you want to call me. It doesn't really matter because I'm not important. Brett, you're not important. Our guests are who is important.
That's right.
We're lucky. Please introduce.
We got a twofer this time. We got Chris Hager, and we have Rockin' Dave Alford back. These guys are rough cut. How are you guys?
Great.
Doing great. Thanks for having us on the show.
Well, we're always happy to talk to you guys. You know, I remember just, I guess about 6 months ago, Rockin' Dave joined Jeff and me, and we had a good long talk. So it's nice to have you both on now, and we can break down some rough cut business.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, obviously you're here to talk about the wonderful Black Rose song. That's the premiere thing here, and of course all the new music. So, Dave, I know that you've been working on new music for a long time, and you must be so excited to have it out now.
We're almost done. We're still in the middle of recording the record. Black Rose is just the first single that we dropped on everybody, and it's been gaining a lot of traction, and the video seems to be doing very well, over 500,000 views on Facebook, and it's blowing up on YouTube, and we're going out to play. I mean, we got our fingers in so much stuff right now, and at the same time, because Chris owns such a great studio here in his house, I'm always over here with the singer, and we're always recording more stuff, but all new stuff, nothing back from the old days.
Right.
What I'm hearing is double live album or recorded live in the house there. Is that what I'm hearing? Mm-hmm. Maybe a triple album?
No. We use this studio over here as a place to write mostly, and then we use it to do overdubs when we're actually making a record. So we don't actually record drums here, but we do use Pro Tools, drum beats and all that to put songs together. And then we go and record the real thing and come back, do overdubs, and then we bring it somewhere else to get it mixed.
And then how often does Jeff and Darren come in and join you guys?
As often as possible. He lives out of state.
Just out of state. So we don't need him too much. Just to come down and do his parts. And, of course, for rehearsal.
Yeah.
And, Darren's just down the street.
Chris will send them guys stuff, via email and stuff. And they'll do their stuff and send it back to us. And if we want to make any changes or anything, we'll tell them.
Or we'll have them come over and record it here either way.
Eventually, we all have to come together into a room and put it together.
Well, and I mean, obviously, it must be so much better just to be in a room now, than it was, 8 months ago, 9 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm not worried about that. Yeah, I'm not worried about dying.
Right. Seems like the Grim Reaper's not involved anymore.
Yeah, I mean, because it's great to hear the new music, of course, and I really enjoyed the song. There's no doubt about it. Now you talk about writing. You talk about writing like new music. Well, this one, of course, also has Matt Thorne listed as one of the writers. So how old was this song?
Well, let me tell you, we did before we split ways with those guys, we recorded a four song demo. And
with the drum machine.
And a lot of it was done, most of it was done over here. And so Matt came up with a lot of the lyrics and the melodies we changed the verse melodies and lyrics, but he came up with the chorus lyrics and melodies for Black Rose.
We gave him a show.
So as far as the music, that was mostly me with a little bit of Dave, and So, you know, and, you know, we gave Matt his due.
Yeah. Which is a lot
which
more.
Which we were not reciprocating.
I was going to say, which is a lot more than what they did for us.
Yeah. So they used those songs.
The demo.
On their record. The demo version of those songs. And put it on their record. And we could not believe it. And so you're hearing my guitars on there.
My drum machine.
You know, Dave playing the drums on the
keyboard.
And, you know, it's like we were, our jaw just kind of dropped. It was like, wait a minute. You know, and then there was a couple of, and then they took some stuff from way back.
Before we even had our record deals.
Yeah, way back. Some of it. Yeah.
Wow. From the vault. And released a bunch of old stuff. But I'm just, you need to know that you're not going to get that from Chris and I.
No.
Well, the record we're doing, all new material. Just like Black Rose was new material, too. Yeah. I just told Chris when we got the new lineup, I go, look, you and I wrote that song with Matt, so why don't we do it? They're not going to do anything with it. And it wasn't until we dropped the single, and it did so well, that they decided to, you know, shoot us across the bow, so to say.
Right.
You know, so anyway, it's all good because I've heard it, and it's about the size of a pea compared to our Black Rose. It's like, really, it's black and white, the difference. It's ridiculously small.
Kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah. And like Chris said, I couldn't believe that they did that. I really can't because I got more respect for them guys than, I mean, come on, we all played in the band for over 25 years or so. It's just, it was crazy that they would release something that's not up to rough cut standard, in my opinion.
I'm really surprised Matt let him put his name on that.
Yeah, me too. I am too.
Well, honestly, you know, after listening to the couple of songs, it just sounded like I would call it rush cut to me. But
we're hearing more and more of that.
That's great. I love that.
We're hearing more and more of that where the people in the business are saying, well, it sounds like it was just thrown together and it's
rush,
not, you know.
Rush cut. That's good, man.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
it's
mean,
kind of funny because, oh, go ahead, Brett.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, it must be really hard when this kind of thing happens to you in anything. But, I mean, you know, the music business, of course, is known for its own little bit of backstabbing. So, but it still must be hard when it does happen.
Well, it's, you know, the thing is we are, you know, we're about making music.
Right.
And when something like this comes up, then it diverts you away from music because you have to deal with it.
Right.
And so, you know, I'd rather be working on, you know, doing an overdub or working on a lead right now or writing a new song than, you know, dealing with, you know, copyright and all that. Bullshit. Yeah.
And the sad thing about it, Brett, is that, like Chris said, when we chopped up and rewrote Black Rose, basically, and we put it out, we gave Matt, like, very generous credit, very generous. He got exactly what he deserved and then some. And then when they did their thing, like Chris would say, like Chris wrote 100% of that music, and they gave him like nothing.
Yeah, it was like two and a half points.
Yeah, they like robbed us of all of the stuff that we did. So instead of bad mouthing them, I mean, because that's the truth. That's not us blowing smoke. We take the high road. We believe in what we're doing, and I have to say this for the record. I don't care what you hear. Those guys knew that we were going on as Rough Cut. I mean, I started the band anyway, and then we decided to keep it together and keep going. And to be honest with you, and Chris will tell you the same thing, they didn't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, man, rough cuts over and this and that. And
yeah, it's like so. we had a bunch of shows and so on, and this is back when we were still together. You know, they couldn't be bothered. You know, we had Wendy Dio working with us again. We had a great agent, and you know, they turned down didn't want to go to Canada or whatever. And it's like, you know, come on, guys. Yeah. You know, what do you want to do here?
You want to keep sitting at home and not playing? And basically, that's what they elected to do. They did not want to go along with us. So Chris and I took up and recruited new people, and there you have it. And you can hear our version, you know, versus their version.
How tough is it? Because, I mean, you guys are taking the high road here. I mean, you know, in this interview and in other statements you've made, I mean, I've definitely noticed that it seems like they fired the first shot. I mean, they said that it was unprofessional to release music without them, and said that they're the three most important members of the group. And to me, this is, how tough is it to take the high road when you're hearing this kind of crap coming from the other side?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like there's an initial, a little bit of a sting to that. But, you know, it's like, you know, we get over it. We've gotten over that real quick. Yeah,
our fans are very loyal. We even have fans out there that do not want to be in the middle, so they'll buy both sides. But they also make comments of how, like you said, rush cut. Sounds like somebody just threw something together to try to get out in front of me and Chris. It's just a slap in the face, you know. Once they saw that our version, you know, that we produced and put out already, and we shot a video for it, and it's gained so much traction that we're now all of a sudden, let's be rough cut again, you know. It was really dumb.
So we know it for what it, you know, we know it for what it is. So that makes it a lot less personal.
Don't sing as bad anymore, because they knew what we were doing. Hell, Matt, I mean, Brett, we had this lineup, we'd already done two shows pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
We played in Portland, and we played in L.A. at the Canyon Club in 2019. Then we got hit with COVID. So what else are we going to do? We started writing and making a video and, you know, getting ready to go out. Now we got shows coming up. I mean, I don't know what them guys are doing, but I don't care.
Well, yeah, and I guess it would be interesting to know if you know, their version would even have legs, or if it was just like a reaction to you guys, and, you know, because there was the end of COVID, it was just like, oh, okay, well, we can release some shit and move on. But, like, maybe they won't do anything, right?
Yeah, our manager seems to think that they're just riding on our skirt tails of what we've created during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'd say, you know, it's hard to say, you know, we don't know what's in their heads, but it's like, you know, I couldn't see them doing more than one or two shows, really.
Even if that.
Yeah, if that. So.
So back to the album. Let's move on to the positive here in the new album. Your music. What is it? How is it that you balance, you know, trying to do new things with giving people the rough cut sound that they expect?
Well, that sound has always been the same. Chris and myself and Matt was included in it in the beginning, was pretty much the meat and the potatoes of our sound. Now, as long as Chris still does the work that he does on guitar and writes the way that him and I write together a lot, and for us to be able to bring in a new singer and him fit the bill, you know, because, you know, you got to admit it, you know, Paul's a great singer. And to us, our new singer, Stephen St. James, has completely, he's outstanding. What is the word I'm looking for? Expectations. He's come in with flying colors.
He was on a major label back in the day as well. And so he was on Motown, and so he got a lot of experience working with a lot of heavy duty people, and that carried over. You know, I mean, the minute by the way, he and I were in a band together back before Rough Cut. Yeah. The name of the band was Sarge, and that was St. James and I. And then he went on and did the Motown thing, and I wound up joining Rough Cut. So I already knew that we had chemistry. And so I called him and said, "Hey, Steve, you want to come over and let's write a few songs?" He said, "Sure, I'd love to." And it was basically, you know, and I said, "Hey, Dave, come on over and listen to this, man." And, you know, that was basically the genesis of the whole thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, once those guys didn't want to have anything to do with Rough Cut anymore, Chris told me, I came over, I listened to some of the stuff, excuse me, and then I went out to see Steven sing in front of an audience, and because I had to make sure, you know, that he could fit Paul's shoes, and he blew me away. And after that, the three of us got together and decided to go on and continue Rough Cut, and we started writing songs, and we started recording songs, and before you knew it, we shot a video, released it, and the rest you guys know. I mean, it's been, people that can't wait for us to come out and play. We've wanted to play on the West Coast, but because of COVID, it's been tough, so our first dates are on the East Coast.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, I love the video. Like, it's a super cool video. I mean, Priya Panda is in it as well. Like, it's so good looking. And I think that, you know, it really harkens back to the glory days of when you did good music videos.
Right, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. That's what we were hoping for, and that's what we were going for, you know.
So then, you know, how long did it take you to make the video in that case?
Well, you know, a few days shooting, and then just a day in the big rehearsal studio, shooting the live parts, and then of course the editors took a few days to us. the time that they had allotted, I guess. And you know, so as far as the shooting part of it, really, you know, yeah.
So then, you know, do you have more videos coming up, like kind of that you're preparing to shoot? I don't know, like, when is your next single due?
Well, here's the thing. It depends on how quickly we can get our record out. And if we see that it's going to be a little bit longer than we were looking to get it out by the end of the year. If we can't make that, then what we think we'll do is we'll go ahead and drop another song and just give it to everybody. And, you know, it's like, you know, we feel that our fans have been really good to us. You know, they deserve to have some music for us. And I don't mind giving away a little bit of that music so that they, you know, to an appreciation. Yeah. For what they've done.
When we drop the record, there'll be, of course, Black Rose will be on it. It's the first single. And then we'll be available for people to buy and download and et cetera, et cetera. But it all comes down to how close we are. Like, if I'm real close to this record being finished, when we're thinking about putting out a single, that might stop us from dropping another single because we might just be able to drop the record. Now, like Chris said, if it takes a little longer than we anticipate, then yeah, we've already discussed doing another single, and we've also discussed making a visual also.
Yeah.
How do you balance, you know, continuing work on the album, but also the intense desire to play live, but also the intense desire for the fans to see you play live?
Yeah, it's challenging,
but it is also exciting because there's nothing that we like more than playing for our fans.
Yeah, We do. And, you know, it's like we're not 20-year-old guys anymore.
Speak for yourself.
None of us are. But
So yeah, it's a challenge for sure. You know, you have to really, to do what we're doing, you really have to want to do it.
That's right.
What are you going to do when you get out in that first the first time in front of a big crowd again? What do you think you're going to – are you going to kiss the stage?
We're going to kick ass.
There you go.
You know, I think we're just going to get out there and just get rowdy and have a great time, you know, and before and after the show, right?
Do you intend to, like, kind of trial any of the new music at the live shows?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be doing four new songs.
Five.
Well, four. Yeah, at least four. So, yeah, we're introducing a lot of new music. We understand that our longtime fans still want to hear, you know, the original stuff. So we don't want to alienate anybody, but we also want to move ahead. So we realized that, you know, any band who had music out from the 80s that people liked has to play that stuff. I mean, you're pretty much, you're stuck with it, you know? I think mixing the two together,
right,
is gonna be sort of an art in itself, and it's gonna be really interesting and a lot of fun to see how that chemistry works out, you know.
Well, and I think it'll be a good chance for the fans to really listen and see, you know, kind of how close the, you know, this new, how much the new music feels truly like Rough Cut.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. They're actually going to get a sneak preview.
They are.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I mean, we talk about playing live and just we talk about the new music. Well, I know, Dave, you know, we talked a little bit earlier with Jeff just about the new blood, but I mean, I just, you know, Chris, kind of how are you feeling about having these new guys? I mean, like Steven, Jeff, and Darren in the band, because I know that so often, like, a bit of new blood can really inject a lot more, you know, life and a spark, I guess, into a band.
Well, let's put it this way. I think that for me, it's probably, I wouldn't want, let me put it from, take it from this angle. I wouldn't want to be doing what we were doing before. This doing something new like this that gives me as an artist the room to stretch my wings a little bit and have fresh blood is what makes it exciting. And of course, Dave and I, that's a given, but having these new members is fresh blood, and it's I think
they bring a lot to the table.
They do, you know, and it's like, I think we were at a point with the old lineup that it just we worked on some stuff, but I wasn't really that crazy about any of it.
Yeah, you know? The other guitar player, Amir, he didn't care. None of them really did.
There was a real lack of, you know, enthusiasm.
Everything.
And now we've got, you know, there's been, you know, we've got excitement.
Right.
And so in answer to your question, I feel great about it.
Got a great management team, so we're ready to go.
Well, and then I guess, you know, that Chris and Dave, like, you know, what's it like to be still working together, and like, what's your working relationship like?
It's never been better. This is Dave talking. It's never been better.
Yeah, I would second that. Yep. you know, after a while, just it's just a given, you know.
Yeah. It's like he said, he kind of danced around it a second ago, and I'm dancing too, because I don't wish anybody any ill feelings or nothing. But to put it bluntly, there was no spark anymore with the other three guys. Yeah. I mean, I'll just tell you, it was gone. I would sit there and say, what's going on here? And the only vibe that I could get was just when Chris and I would do stuff. I'd come over to his house, and Matt would come over here, and we'd work on something. And when Chris and I were changing things and writing stuff, there was a spark. But as soon as everyone else got involved in it, it just kind of fizzled out there and didn't do anything. And then when we hear from them that they don't want to play anymore with us, now you hear why we got a new lineup. It's simple. Well, we're going to keep playing. As long as I can keep playing drums, I'm going to keep playing. As long as I can sing, I'm going to keep singing.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because of course, a band is like being married to four other people, basically. And I guess when the spark's not there, you know, it's one thing when the spark's not there in a marriage, but when the spark's not there in a band, I mean, I can't imagine how difficult a slog it must be to even attempt to continue creating. And this is what you do.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. Exactly. You put your finger on it. It's a slog.
Yeah, it's like kicking a dead horse. You can't make it jump.
You know, and it's especially when, you know, one or two people are doing the majority of all the work. And there's a lot of work that comes along with being in a band. You know, even if you've got good management, it's like there's still work that has to be done. That's outside of the music.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can cause resentments.
Yeah.
When, you know, everyone else is just riding off the coattails of one or two people who are putting energy and their time into making things happen, you know.
That's what we're experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. So then when you two guys are together, like, how does the writing process work? Like, do you still need to write more songs for the new album, or is it mostly just taking what you have and getting it produced and in the can?
We've got more than half of it written, and the songs are done for the most part. The rest of it, we have parts and ideas, and we just need to, put them together.
To answer your question about our writing, Chris and I and the singer, we bounce stuff off of each other. Usually it starts with Chris and I. He'll come up with a riff, or I'll come up with a guitar riff and show it to him. It doesn't matter. If we got an idea and we both like it, that's when we bring Steven in, and then we work on that idea, and before you know it, we have a song. We've gotten plenty of ideas already that we abandoned because we came up with stuff better.
Well, you know, it's like that's the attitude we're taking with this version. It's like, hey, you know, look, at this point in my life, and I think Dave would agree with me, it's like, I'm not going to put out anything mediocre.
Right. Me either. No way.
If it ain't a hit, it ain't shit.
Right. Sonically, it's got to be there. It can't
sonically,
be,
musically, it, everything.
It can't be. There is no such a version as a wimpy rough cut. I thought. I couldn't believe that. Sorry about that. I'm a little bitter, guys.
Yeah. Understandable. When you're working with somebody,
when you work with somebody for so long, you know, it is kind of a bit like a divorce, right?
Yeah, right.
Except for with more than one person.
Yeah.
You can divorce times three.
Right.
Yeah, who gets the kids? But no.
What do you guys think? You know, you're seeing Jeff with the Loyal Order. He's having a lot of success. What do you guys feel? How do you feel about seeing how well he's doing?
More power to him. All I care about is that he plays bass for us.
Yeah.
I love his new band. I like what they're doing. We support them 100%. But his dream, I'll just tell you, he told me, was to play in a band like Rough Cut as a bass player. And he's fit very well with us. He brings a lot to the table, and he's partly the reason, like I mentioned about that spark. He's real good about, yeah, forget that. Let's move forward.
Yeah. You know, he's got a great attitude.
Yeah.
He's got a great attitude.
Everybody in this lineup, it's like fresh, like Chris said. Well, it's never dull. And, man, I'll tell you right now, the two shows that we did before the pandemic, unbelievable. The crowd accepted us like you wouldn't believe. And so it solidified our feelings for wanting to push forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I know we talked about a little bit earlier just about the idea of like having that other singer and just having the singers, and you're able to do so much more with the music and, you know, just create the melodies.
Yeah. Yeah. We have much more versatility now.
Right.
And that feels good to me because really that's the only way that I want to work.
Hell, one of the songs that we've got on the new records even got a couple of sections of hip hop in it.
Wow.
There's some rap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody.
Okay.
just between us.
We've got a lot of new stuff that is going to raise your eyebrow. And it's totally Rough Cut.
Yeah. So it's like you guys mentioned earlier, balancing the old with the new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It seems like for
We've
us
mastered it.
That it seems to come fairly naturally.
We've mastered it.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
And when you hear the new stuff, I think you'll be happy.
Well, I mean, it's a great start so far.
We want everybody to dig it, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I like it, you know, Chris, when you say versatility, because I mean, I think that it's something that you don't necessarily think of in music, but I mean, I know how many times have I read about Kiss where it's just like, you know, oh, Gene will be playing the guitar, Paul will be playing the bass, or whatever, Ace was playing the bass, you know, and I think it's great that there is that versatility when you all get into a room and it doesn't matter who's doing what, it's just all in service of the song.
Yes.
That's the way we feel anyway. Yes. It's like Chris said, we won't release anything that's not, number one, up to par, and number two, totally us, Rough Cut. It's got to sound right or we won't release it. And furthermore, that's what keeps us driving.
You know, we want a hook in every song. You know, we want multiple hooks in every song. To keep the people, we want stuff that people can, you know, that people can sing along to, that gets stuck in their heads and you know, and yet still has that sort of Rough Cut, sort of heavy vibe to it.
Yeah, I mean, we've already got fans saying, oh, you mean all the Broken Promises songs? they were meant hooks.
Yes, that's right.
How does it judge that, you know, the quality of a song? Because, I mean, they're all your babies, right? So how do you be objective?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. And I think I know for a fact I've gotten much, much better at being objective.
Me too.
You know, yeah, I would imagine Dave would be the same. And it's like, you know, it's like, at first, I think that comes with competence, actually. So the more competent you are as a writer, the more seasoned you get, the less you have to lie to yourself.
Not to mention, that's a good way to put that, Chris, but not to mention with along with your competency of your own inner feeling as a writer, when you work with people that give you that spark again, like I said, then all of a sudden you don't just become a competent writer, you become a writer that has a lot of confidence in what you're doing. And whenever we do this, like I said a few minutes ago, guys, we've sat here before and like already completely almost finished a whole song and go, nah, it's not really what we're looking for.
Yeah.
And move on, you know.
Or
and,
or we need to completely revamp this course.
Yeah, know? So we feel exactly like there. That we look at everything objectively with a new twist to it. We don't want to live in the past. We're not living in the past, as you can hear. With Black Rose, it's totally rough cut, but with a twist.
But you know, it's got a classic rock twist to it. But you know, the feedback we're getting, people like it's got that bit of magic to it.
Yes, yeah.
You know,
and we only want to do what's best for the song. Far as our, I mean, come on, it is still an opinion, but Chris and I have been doing this long enough with each other like this to where we value our opinions and mm-hmm. such confidence to where we can pretty much tell, ah, this one ain't going to make it. Oh, yeah. This is really something good here.
Right.
And we work on it. And that's, we believe in our confidence and our feelings. When something feels right, you can see us. We'll charge straight ahead.
We trust that, yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. We've learned to trust. And, again, I think a lot of that just comes with doing it for a long time.
Right.
So when, then, would each of you say that you became competent?
Well, we had a
talk about competent. With the new music? Or
no,
just,
or just like, you know, just in your career. Like, at what point did you kind of have that moment where it ticked over and it was just like, you may have been like, I wasn't sure, and then you were suddenly realized, oh, I'm totally sure now.
Well, the day we got signed by Warner Brothers.
Right. The day Ted Templeman said, I want these guys.
That's about as good as indicator as you can get.
The hairs on the back of my neck raised up, and the good Lord was telling me, this is it, Dave.
So yeah, I mean, you know, we were young and we were new. We'd all been playing for a while, but you know, it was
unit, we were pretty new.
Yeah, you know, we had only been
together like 3 years.
That's
and then
right.
We got signed.
You know, and well, yeah, less than that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was less than
that. And so, yeah, I mean, we had definitely the competence seed had sprouted.
Uh-huh.
It's just kept growing after, you know, since then.
And Chris and I still have that feeling between us, and we have it with our new singer. And that's why we keep doing this, because we have something to say.
Yeah.
And our fans, every time we do something, it just gets better and better and better.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever have anybody?
If it weren't for that, it's just, like I say, it just wouldn't be worth it.
Right.
You know?
Did you guys ever have anybody back in the day who came with a crazy idea for marketing or crazy funny idea for a video that just made you think, what the hell are they thinking?
Oh, did that happen to us? Yeah.
Yeah.
Our first video. What were they thinking? We don't know.
We're in Toronto, Canada.
Bring out the clowns.
Shooting Never Gonna Die. And the guy that Warner Brothers hired to do the storyboard, we didn't really agree with. So our manager, Wendy, she had a band meeting one day and she came to us and she goes, oh, you boys tell me what's Never Gonna Die. And the only thing I could was superheroes. That's the only thing
they took that a little bit too literally.
They did. but I'm just saying that for that first video, then they stick us in a warehouse in Toronto, Canada, and we shot for over 20 hours, and they had torches burning the whole time. So when we came out of the video shoot the next morning, we all had soot in our hair, and I mean everything. I mean it was a, what do you call it, a blooper?
it's not a video that, you know, I'm really like, hey, here's our first video.
Right. I remember my part where Paul's swinging a jacket in the video and it's hitting the mirror in the face. And he had to, like, duck his head. I mean, really, guys, I mean,
our first
video was a blooper.
Yeah. But, you know, it was our first video. So the first time you ever do anything,
yeah,
you know, it's not always going to be the best.
I'm interested. You talk about like Wendy getting everybody together for a band meeting. Like, what were those band meetings like? You know, if the manager had to call you in and like have a band meeting, was that like did it feel like getting called on the carpet, or was it just kind of like, oh, we gotta like, you know, we gotta deal with this shit?
They were always constructed. She would just be passing on an idea to us, are asking us what we think about something. And we kind of had a, I don't know, what do you call it? There was five of us, so it was kind of a majority rules type thing,
yeah,
or something, you know.
And
in the end, it kind of hurt us. We missed our window after we got signed. You know, I'm not going to go off into it, but it was pretty deep. And there's a, you know, there's a lot of reasons for Rough Cut's non-success, and there's a lot of reasons for what success that we did have.
Yeah. But, you know, as far as the meetings with Wendy, it was like a lot of times it was us coming in and asking her, hey, you know, why isn't this happening?
Right. How come so-and-so's doing this and we're not?
Mm-hmm. You know. She probably dreaded him more than we did. Not all the time, but, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Overall, though, I've got nothing bad to say about Wendy Dio. She,
nothing but praise.
You know, yeah. And she, you know, still consider her a friend. And
right.
Yeah.
I mean, Ronnie changed my life. What can I say? You know? When I met him, and when he gave me his phone number and said, this is my iPhone number, come out to Los Angeles, because the band I was in at the time was about to move to New York, and I saw Ronnie play with Black Sabbath because my buddy Benny Apsey was playing drums with him. And I met Ronnie, and he gave me the number. We moved to California. That's how everything got started. I mean, he changed my life, period. Never known a more humble, talented superstar than Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah, I could say the same thing. I mean, I could tell you plenty of stories that about, you know, working with and being with Ronnie that, you know, people would be surprised to hear. He was more than just a lot more than just a great singer.
Yeah,
I can tell you that.
He's a good friend, too.
Yeah.
I miss him every day.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
all time great.
Yeah, we've talked to so many people, and the thing is, it's always the same. Everybody comes out, and everybody has a great memory. Everybody just, you know, recalls, like, being in his kitchen and talking about sports or whatever, and just, you know, just these moments. Right. And just.
He loves football.
Yeah. And just... Everybody loves Ronnie James Dio, and I love it too, because you know, when Martin and I got a chance to see him a couple of times, I mean, that man worked his ass off, and he gave the fans everything all the time.
Yeah, he did, and he treated everybody the same. He didn't look down on anybody. And, you know, it is, and not only that, he was a fantastic producer.
Yeah.
You know, it just, the just list goes on. And that's rare. You know, it's rare that you run into somebody with his level of talent.
With so much insight. In fact, to be honest with you, I've only seen him one time kind of get a burr up his butt about the music business, and it had to do with the fact that Michael Jackson and those guys put out the We Are the World thing, and they kind of, I forget if it was him or Lionel, somebody made a comment in an interview that, well, what someone said, what do you think about the rock and roll side? Do you think they'll contribute? And somewhere along the line, somebody put down that the heavy metal guys and the heavy rock guys wouldn't do anything like that, and that was the wrong thing to say to Ron. and then the rest of it is hearing aid, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And the stories from that, no question, there's a lot of stories from hearing aid. So.
That literally was the only time I ever heard him say, well, that's bollocks. You know, and sit there and had an attitude about it. And it wasn't even 2 days after that before Vivian and Jimmy came up with the song, you know, We're Stars.
And I mean, you know, such great music, too.
The making of that is on YouTube. I think I've probably watched that about 10 times. And it's just fascinating, see all those people together.
The making of, that was an amazing day. I don't think any of us will ever forget.
Etched in my brain forever.
Yep.
So is there anybody else that maybe doesn't get the credit that also changed your lives that you know you should that you know people don't know but they had a massive influence in some way or another on your career?
For me, like I go back to what I said about Ronnie, that never would have happened if my buddy Carmine Appice wouldn't have told me. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I have a band. I'm talking to Carmine on the phone. He goes, oh, Dave, I forgot to tell you, you should go down to the Omni and see Vinny tonight. And I go, what? And he says, yeah, he's playing drums with Black Sabbath. And I'm like, no way. So to really connect all the dots, if Carmine wouldn't have told me about Vinny playing the Omni, gave me his hotel number, and I called Vinny, none of this would have never happened.
Wow.
It's the influence too, I guess you could say, you know.
Yeah. You know,
it's a tight knit. I mean, look at Rough Cut's history. Look at the musical chairs. I've been in Rat. Chris has been in Mickey Rat, which started Rat.
Yeah.
I mean, Sarge had our current singer, Matt, played in that band too. Matt was in Rat when I was in Rat. I mean, the musical chairs is ridiculous. Our family tree is insane.
Yeah.
Jake leads us to go to Ozzy. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there's a whole story just in that alone.
Tell them about that poster you boys did for Grover. That was nuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a famous... Grover Jackson, I've got a plaque with it, but there's a picture that was taken that's got about, 30 or 40 of us, including, you know, Brad Gillis, Vinny Vincent, just everybody. That was a very cool thing. I still have it. For me, you know, just working with producers, the number of producers that I've been able to work with, including a guy named Brad Aaron, who's no longer with us. And he was a engineer and producer that worked with Kansas. And Jeff Glucksman. And he was the first real producer that I worked with and went in and did a 24-track recording with me. And taught me a lot about, taught me the basics of recording and engineering. And then, you know, coming and then next hooking up and going in and doing a demo with Ronnie Dio, for crying out loud.
Right.
Then from there, going with Tom Allen, you know, Jack,
Douglas.
Those guys, if you're paying attention, which I was, they leave an indelible mark on you.
Yeah.
And that's been a huge, not only a help for me, but influence and experience. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's always so awesome, you know, to realize just the, you know, the gifts that these people do leave behind, because, you know, they do, they transfer their knowledge to you, you know, whether directly or indirectly. And that just keeps, you know, moving on.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. I don't know. Every time you guys, you mention names like that, I just get a big smile on my face. You know, it takes me back to the music I love.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the music I love.
Wild and crazy days mixed in with all of that. That's why we were so surprised that Ronnie was able to get all those guys, crazy guys, everybody, Ted Nugent, Kevin Dubrow, okay, together to do and keep order and everything. And he was really good at it. I mean, the guy spoke, you listen.
Yeah.
And you learn. And that was it.
Just had that kind of respect.
Yes.
Just had that kind of respect. Yeah. So if you guys were to make a best guess, if you were to make a best guess, when do you think that the album will drop? What are you aiming for?
By the end of the year.
Yeah.
By the end of the year.
And that's that we want before that, but we're saying it's going to come out this year. I've already said it. It'll be out in 2021. We just don't have an exact date yet.
So whether it's a Christmas present you know, hopefully it's earlier.
Yeah, my birthday's late October. I'll be good. That'll be good. That'll be a good time to have.
Hopefully we can give you an early birthday present.
Yeah. Where do you go, where are you guys at right now?
We're in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Okay.
Because in October, around your birthday, I'm pretty sure that Rough Cut and Slaughter and who else was it? Kingdom Come, I think, is doing some gigs in Arizona. But it'd be around your birthday, you know. So.
I travel for that. Are you kidding me?
Yep, that sounds like something that we'd be.
Yeah, I'd be heading in that direction. It's not my first time I visited Arizona. I love that city or that state. You know, great people there. So yeah, absolutely. That's something we're going to keep an eye out for. Then.
Where are they in Canada?
I can't
remember. Alberta.
What city did you
say? Calgary, Alberta.
Oh, Calgary.
Is that on which province?
Alberta.
Alberta, yeah, okay.
That's West Coast, isn't it?
Pretty close to the BC is the West Coast, and then we're next to BC.
Yeah, okay. So we're the prairies here.
Okay, so yeah.
Yeah, we love Canada. Like we said, our first video we shot it was Champagne Films and out of Toronto, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we barely consider Toronto part of Canada. Hey, that's just us.
Right.
Yeah, we had good times up there. Some fun, good stories to tell.
Yeah,
I'll never forget that one show we did with Triumph and I forget the other band. Somebody, it was like the Maple Leaf Gardens thing where they move them out and like this and everything.
Saxon
too. Yeah, I think.
Wow. What a great show that would be.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
We had some good times.
Yeah, we were so fortunate. I mean, we got to play, you know, obviously, you know, touring arenas with Ronnie, and then going out and doing festivals, and then going out with Accept and Crocus and doing, you know, doing big venues with them. You know, we opened for a lot of people. We did a lot of headlining. We did to Japan twice.
Right.
Hell, we were in England before we even got signed.
Yeah. So yeah, that's awesome.
We were lucky, fortunate guys in a lot of respects.
What the fans in Japan like to play in front of? Are they as enthusiastic as they are in other countries?
Yeah.
More so, really. Yeah.
Really?
They're very disciplined.
They're disciplined. Yeah, and they're polite.
Yeah.
It's different. But when it comes to, like, you know, landing at the airport,
right,
and coming down to your hotel lobby, and it's like they're all over the place, man. I don't know if it's still like that over there, but
one of the things that sticks in my head is we're on a festival stage in front of 500,000 people, and we're doing the Super Rock Festival, and you finish a song, and you hear, you know, and the second the singer comes to the mic, it goes from all this noise, it's like,
yeah.
Seriously, as if it was a mute button.
They
say something, and all of a sudden you've got 400,000 kids zipping in one split second.
Yeah, in the same way that we did a hall tour there.
Right. Osaka was great. Right.
Yeah, Osaka was great. And the same way, you know, they were just...
They were all sold out.
Super into it, but very polite. Almost to the point where it was kind of funny.
Yeah. You know?
Well, it was.
Yeah. Well, they kill me as we'd come out of our rooms and they'd be in the lobby waiting.
Yes.
With food and...
Little cards.
Yeah, and all kinds of stuff waiting.
Especially the females.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's a whole bunch of other stories I don't think we have time for.
Oh, we got some, like one of them being locked inside my bedroom.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now you can't tease us like that and not tell at least that one.
Well, it's just at the Super Rock, we come back from the gig, and I try to go into my hotel room, and the door's locked from the inside. So I don't know how she did it. She bribed a guard or somebody with a key or whatever, but she was locked inside my room, and the cops, they had to get, you know, they had to open the room and was going to get her out of there, and I felt so bad for her that I let her stay.
Kindness of your heart.
Yeah,
that's right.
We won't get off into that.
Yeah. We love it. We love the stories. We certainly love all but more to the point, I mean, we love the joy that the music has brought to us, you know, over our entire lives.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. We listened to you guys since, you know, since the first album. So, yeah, we're old too, but what the hell? We love it.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it, right?
What are you going to do about it? Just enjoy it.
I'm gonna rock till I drop, Phil.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. Well, guys, we should give you guys the opportunity to promote, you know, your album or, you know, the band or whatever, whichever way, or websites or Facebook or whatever you got. What's the best way for people to keep up with the band and not get you guys confused with the other one? This is the real band to me because it's continuing the legacy.
Right.
Great, thanks. Well, first of all, what we would really ask fans to do is go to our YouTube page and subscribe to our YouTube and.
We have a website.
I meant channel.
Yeah, YouTube channel,
and you can tell the difference between our logo and theirs.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know where the hell they got that
thing.
It's a weird logo. I'll say that.
We need people to subscribe to our channel.
Yeah,
and that would help. And we also have a new website. It's up now. It's roughcutofficial.com.
Yep.
There's all the info all you need. There's events, there's merch, there's everything.
Yep.
Bios, you can learn, you can get tickets for shows, everything from that website.
And of course, on Facebook, you can just type in Rough Cut, mm-hmm. and you'll see we've got a fan group, and we've got a page up there, and
our fan group is called Rough Cut Rocks.
Yeah. And then some of us have individual pages as well, and
we're vain.
Yeah.
But really, seriously, guys, roughcutofficial.com and YouTube. That's really what we're pushing right now.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I can tell you that I just clicked subscribe on YouTube, so there you go. That's one more for you.
Thank you.
My man. Spread the word, brother.
Well, you bet. And that's why we're here. That's what we want to do. I mean, we love you guys. We love the music. And so we just thank you so much for spending your time with us and you know, preaching the good word.
We appreciate you guys' comments, too. It means a lot to us.
Yeah, sure does.
Just for you to say, yeah, well, now I know which Rough Cut, you know, it is. Because we're doing new stuff. We're keeping it alive. We're not going to be like those guys and go pull out a bunch of stuff from 20 years ago and try to put it out and make people buy it. That's just not the way Chris and I work.
That's right. So, hey, guys, you know, thanks for having us and letting us tell our tale up here. And, you know, let us know when this is going to drop, and we'll make sure we'll spread the butter.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Sounds great. Sounds yes. Good. Yeah. Thank you so
much,
guys.
Good talking with both of you, Brett and Mo.
And we wish you nothing but the best in the future. And I know we will talk again for sure.
That sounds good. We'd love to.
In fact, Chris, I know we need to get you on, because I was talking to Jeff about bringing you on, because I really want to talk about some work on a movie that you did back in the like 90s.
Sure. No
have
problem.
Have some fun talking some early music. The movie is called Bikini Summer, and I was watching it, and one of the songs was written by Chris.
I'm glad it's that one.
So I want you to come on
anytime,
and talk about that.
I've got plenty of yarns to spin.
Perfect.
I bet.
All right. Well
thank
all
you guys. Right.
Thank you both.
You have yourselves a good night.
Take care, guys.
Bye for now.
All the broken promises. They teach you. Are black, and I'm never